All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. So from time to time, I like touching up on some cultural touch points, from politics to science, music to art, everything in between. So I'm really excited to have the foremost authority on, well, everything. So I invited Dr. Arthur von Smartassen from the Dentz Institute to join us on the Team Hochberg phone line. Dr. von Smartassen, good morning, good evening.
Yeah, it's good evening. Yeah, it's very nice to be here.
Schmartassen. What nationality? What nationality necessarily is that?
Yeah, it's not necessarily, but it is Liechtensteinian. Nationality. Yeah, it's Liechtenstein used to be called Kaucholat, but changed the name after the war with the Ottoman Empire.
What was that?
You can only have the one furniture empire. You know, they don't allow
the Ottoman Empire. So missed that. Right over my head.
We had to give it up.
Yeah. You know, we're approaching Thanksgiving, and obviously COVID's getting far worse than anyone could have ever imagined. It's going to be different for a lot of people. A lot of people are planning, you know, because they weren't planning on cooking. They were planning on going to someone else's house to cook or going out to dinner.
Sure.
Meals are going to be a little bit smaller. What Thanksgiving side, Dr. Smartassen, can we do without?
Yeah, it's a good question, actually, because if you look at the original Thanksgiving, their cranberry sauce is not supposed to be part of the meal.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's a whole mistake. Yeah, that was a big oopsie. Originally, the cranberries were brought as a little bit of table decoration by the Native Americans. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but the Pilgrims started eating them like they're grapes. They're not grapes.
They're actually really hard.
They're sour. They're very
uncomfortable.
Tart. Not at all. So, you know, what are the Native Americans going to do? But they have to start eating them as well.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
They want to be polite about the whole thing.
Make it uncomfortable. Right.
Look at these people. Yeah. A small little fact that is also where the can opener was invented.
For the cranberries.
Opens the can of cranberries.
All the way back then.
Yeah, they were very, very smart people. Yeah, they really got along well. They did some very clever things with the bowl, the arrow, and the can opener.
Yeah, it's very interesting. What exactly people are going to have to quarantine. They're going to have to quarantine, you know, for even Thanksgiving. Yeah. Like, you know, what is the best way to quarantine, Dr. Smartassen?
Yeah, you've got to be careful, obviously. This is a very, very serious thing. It's a dangerous thing. So you want to take all the precautions. And, you know, the social distancing is very good. Don't use deodorant. Obviously, that helps. That just makes it a natural thing. You don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, if you're going to quarantine, right, if we're going to get shut in, I'll give you a little piece of advice. You want to get shut in with a schizophrenic.
Yeah. Why is that?
Because you're not with the same person all the time, then. You know, it's all changing up. You don't know who you're with. It's a nice crowd. You have a little party.
Uh-huh.
It's nice for everybody involved in that one.
Yeah.
You know, in all seriousness, you know, you have to find some gratitude. That's what will see you through the whole thing, is find a little bit of gratitude. You know, find something to be thankful for. And I think, if you really want to get in the right headspace about this, and you just give your in-laws a call.
No.
Give somebody that you don't like a phone call.
I got a list.
For 2 minutes, and boom, you know, all of a sudden you're grateful that they're stuck in their house, you're stuck in your house. It's all good.
There's something to be said for that. I think this Thanksgiving, I think there's going to be a lot of people very grateful that they're in their own house. Holidays, of course, are around the corner. How about some pop culture questions? What is the best Christmas album, I guess, from the past or today to pick up this holiday season?
Yeah. As you know, Travis, I'm really the foremost expert on everything. And scientifically speaking,
yes,
we have broken it down with an algorithm to understand exactly what brings the most amount of Christmas spirit, holiday spirit, and the merriment. Mm-hmm. Right, we wanted the holidays and the joy and everything else.
Yeah.
And it came down. We did get one name that has the very best Christmas album.
Andy Williams.
No, Justin Bieber.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has the voice of an angel, that one. Oh,
really?
I don't believe it. I can't help it.
Yuck. Okay.
Also, just to be clear, you could throw in there second place, David Hasselhoff.
He has a Christmas album. Well, he probably does.
Yeah, he does. He does. You know, actually, I'm legally obligated to say that he's actually a Duke in Liechtenstein. So, yeah. So it's between the Biebs and the Hoff.
Yeah, Biebs and the Hoff, yeah.
I tell you what, would it blow the socks off the feet there would be a duet between those two.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like oh, that'd be beautiful. Angels. Angels from heaven.
Mm-hmm. There we are.
What about Black Friday shopping? Because I'm already seeing Black Friday prices now. Nobody wants crowds coming into the stores. Obviously, it's going to be very different. So what are your suggestions for Black Friday shopping this year, Dr. Von Schmadassen?
Von Schmadassen. Yeah, thank you. It's not that hard of a name, really. I'm surprised you haven't so much trouble with it. I tell you what, the thing with Black Friday that always confused me, especially in America, is, literally, people are trampling each other to get some more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The day after, right, they've been thankful for all the stuff they got.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing with that. I have a little cultural bit of an issue there. But,
in the States,
Here's your solution for it.
Yeah.
If the store is going to allow people to shop in the store,
okay,
go ahead and have Thanksgiving dinner there in the line. Combines the two things.
Yeah.
Right there, boom, you get the whole thing done. Everybody is having fun. You're passing the gravy right around the...
Killing some time.
The audio video department. Yeah, it's nice. Everyone has it. It's something you'll talk about for years to come.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Very smart. Very smart of you. As far as entertainment, we have no movies. You know, usually Thanksgiving weekend's a huge movie weekend. But what I'm seeing is all over Netflix or Facebook, they're doing all these TV series reunions and revivals. In your opinion, what deserves a return to the small screen? What show?
Yeah, but that's a good one. Yeah, we actually did a study about this. They're doing so many of them, you know, with shows. They got the French Prince of Bel-Air is
Prince,
coming out.
Fresh Prince, not Prince, but Prince.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly it. It translates to the same thing, loosely said.
Mm-hmm.
We did a study on this, and the shows that the most people would watch around the planet, I mean, this is a global study, was actually Manimal. Half man, half animal, which the show itself as a concept kind of doesn't make sense if you think about it. Man is an animal in the first place, but it's clever.
How long was that on the air, Dr. Schmadassen?
I think it had like 6 episodes.
I think it did.
I think the guy, the guy could turn into a falcon or something like that. It really didn't stand up on its own, but that's what would turn people's head. Joni loves Chachi.
No, really?
Yeah.
Really? That's Joni, no offense. I mean, not to be gruesome here, but Aaron Moran, who played Joni, she's dead. Al Del Vecchio, what is his name? I can't remember his name now. Al Molinaro, he's gone. So, I mean, it's going to be a small group. It's going to be Scott Baio pretty much standing up there.
Yeah, it's just him, just alone and not talking because no one wants to hear him say anything. Just sitting there. The tight pants and the little jean jacket.
It's just the chachi. Yeah, just the chachi. Okay, all right. Dr. Arthur von Schmadassen from the Dens Institute. Man, it's been an absolute pleasure you hanging out with us. And please, whatever you do, be careful out there for Thanksgiving and enjoy some time away from the family.
Yeah, auf Wiedersehen. Thanks, everybody.
So Dr. Arthur von Schmadassen was from the brain of Jeff Rogers, who's the managing partner of Players Workshop. Jeff, welcome in, buddy.
Thank you very much. Thank you for my Herb Alpert play on music as well.
You're welcome.
Love the Tijuana Brass.
You know, improv, we talk about it. By the way, you gave me a list of other places that I was to mention that came from if it didn't go well. But I thought it went it went very nicely. But, you know, improv, people, when they hear the word improv, they think they're just coming in, having their 2-drink minimum, laugh for a little while about current events, and go home. But that is not what improv is all about. And the Players Workshop is like the first place that you could learn improv long before even Second City in the city of Chicago. First, talk a little bit about the background of Players Workshop, Jeff.
Well, actually, it was, it is the original independent school of improvisation where anybody can come and learn improv. Before that, it really was, you had to be at Second City to be learning improvisation. So it was actually a part of Second City before it spun off into its own school back in 1970. Actually, this is our 50th anniversary this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So Josephine Forsberg was the woman who really coalesced all of these improv exercises and games into a curriculum that showed that, you know, when you learn this in the right order, in the right context, you could use this on stage and be a really great performer. Like, you know, some of our alumni are Bill Murray, George Wendt, Harold Ramis, Matt Walsh, Bob Odenkirk, Shelley Long, Bonnie Hunt. And so it's all of these folks who are really, really great on stage. But what's been really wonderful is a lot of people came there just to get their creative juices flowing, right? To get to tap into their creativity. Mm-hmm. And they had nothing to do with the stage. They you know, didn't want to pursue that. Or if they did, they were unsure about how to go about it. And so people use these skills in everyday life now. And they come in, and whether they're you know, ad executives or they're teachers, they're coming in there to learn some different skills and how to use them in their day jobs. In fact, the AMA has been utilizing improvisation to train doctors. The University of Michigan was actually it was part of the curriculum for medical school to learn improvisation so they could communicate better with patients. And that's one of the things you pick up with improvisation is to communicate better, to listen better. And they had some incredible success with it as well. So you see it in a lot of different areas.
You know, now that you mention Bonnie Hunt, I now remember being in an event with you a couple years ago where we were talking to Bonnie about you reviving Players Workshop. So that came pretty quickly after that. But you're doing a lot of interesting things, like your revival of Players Workshop really came at a time where we are heading into this pandemic. So doing a lot of this virtually has been very successful for you. But it's not only just about, you said you could use it for life. So whether you're interviewing for a job where you're trying to, you've done classes for teachers on how to remote learn and teach the children not only in the classroom but on the screen as well. You've got a lot of interesting classes coming up as well. Tell us a little bit about what some of the offerings are from Players Workshop right now.
Yeah, so this whole thing with the pandemic and having to go virtual has been really a shining moment for all of the improvisational schools, but really especially for us, because we're so open to people coming in off the street who maybe aren't intending to go on as an actor and improviser. There's plenty of those who come in and take classes with us, but we also have a really healthy amount of folks who come in and just want to expand what they do, be more comfortable at parties, network better, to be better at sales, you know. And so when the sort of pandemic hit and everyone was forced to go virtual, we weren't sure initially about how this would work online. What we found was it works just as well online, and especially because we tweaked as how we were teaching and what we were teaching. So, you know, we mentioned the teachers, and we're teaching teachers how to teach online and engage their students in a very different way that they're not used to. We put so much on teachers' shoulders to work virtually and try and engage the students and everything else. I mean, it's one of the most difficult things to do. And yet, with the right tools and the right exercises and activities that we're teaching them, we've gotten incredible feedback about how they feel so engaged now. They're able to pull the kids back into class. They're able to get them reengaged. They're able to get them to turn their cameras on, which is a more of a Herculean task than a lot of people would suspect. We're piloting a program with Chicago Public Schools that we're working with kids after school in an after school program. And these are kids who might be a little shy, might be a little trepidatious about getting on stage, but they want to.
Or talking on Zoom in their classroom. Yeah. I mean, as simple as that, we got to talk about right now, right?
Yeah. That's exactly right. And we're experimenting with that with one school right now. And the teachers have come back to us and said, you know, who are these kids? because they're not the ones who started out at the beginning of the year. These kids are now answering questions. They're not afraid to raise their hand. They're on camera. They're engaging with the teachers and their classmates. They just find a confidence in themselves. And that's true of the adult learners as well. You know, we go into corporations and teach workshops on this content, the same content, but what we do is we focus it differently, you know? And so a lot of people are getting a lot out of improv now that they didn't realize was there. They really are life skills that we're teaching, but we're doing it in a fun way that, you know, allows you to, you know, we say that we create a playground. You can come in and play in the playground, but you learn great lessons in the playground.
Absolutely.
You learn how to do things, how to pick yourself back up, how to dust yourself off mm-hmm. if something doesn't work quite right. You learn to play better with others and communicate better and listen better. So there's some great stuff to pull away from it, and people are really happy with some of the outcomes.
Well, for some of the business folks out there, too, and you talk about sales, you're usually in front of somebody. Like, that's the one thing that I miss the most is just walking down a hall and being stopped and pulled into an office for a project, you know, in my day job, and you don't really have that right now. And most people are used to either doing that or they're going to pick up the phone or a lot of people just emailing, and I almost feel like emailing has become an excuse not to talk to somebody. And I think during this whole pandemic, what has come out of this is that so many people have been inviting you to video chats and Zoom meetings and so yeah. forth, where you have to be seen on camera, you have to interact. And I can tell just by being online with people or holding a board meeting that there are some people that are just very uncomfortable in their own skin. And improv can help loosen that up a little bit and really, you know, change the skill set that you have in whatever world of business that you're in.
Without a doubt. And it really is about unlocking what's inside. You're not necessarily like learning how to play piano where you have to memorize something by rote and you have to do all of these things. With improvisation, what we're doing is we're going back and unlocking some of these skills that you've sort of put away because you needed to, you know, societally, we judge people by how serious they are.
Mm-hmm.
But what we find is the really successful people have found the balance between a serious attitude when needed, but also humor when it's appropriate. And there's study after study about how a better sense of humor and a better sense of listening creates better engagement. Those companies tend to have as much as a 26% increase in profitability. They have better retention rates for their companies. Wow. You know, they don't have to keep retraining people. So they're saving a ton of money in terms of training and development, and they're not losing the people that they really want to keep. And for people who are uncomfortable with, you know, the idea of that, in reality, this virtual playground that we've created creates a nice, safe space for people to come and check it out. You know, they can come in, they're still at home, yep. but they're asked to sort of play around a little bit. And it's a little bit of a workout for the brain as well. So most of us aren't getting that. A lot of us are sort of, a lot of people are stuck in front of their computer for now, the entire time they're at work. They're not getting up in the office, like you mentioned, just talking to other people, networking, having human interface. And then after that, they're glued to the TV. So this is a way to really kind of break out of that rut, you know, break out of that groove before it becomes a grave and, you know, have something to look forward to each week. You know, instead of your bowling team, come to the improv classes, learn with this group of people, gain a whole new group of friends.
Love that. And that's playersworkshoponline.com. Did I get that right?
Yep, that's absolutely it. And we've got a Black Friday sale going on, too, right now. This is an exclusive for your show, Dave.
Okay.
This is not being mentioned. We weren't going to mention this until next week, but this is, you know, it's the Dave Plyer show. You got to give something great.
Right, exactly. I mean, exactly.
This is the whole deal.
Is there a code or something?
We're doing a two-for-one, which is you get three, you buy two classes, you get one free. And you get the entire first term, the first level of classes.
Wow.
12 classes for the price of 8. And, you know, it's nothing else. It's something to do for the next couple of few weeks and have some fun doing it as we, you know, as you were talking about earlier with the restaurants.
As
things
we hunker
are looking
down.
Like they might get hunkered down for a little while. So try something different. Come out of this whole pandemic with a new skill, something new that you can do and be proud of. I'll tell you what, they're actually looking for this now. It's something to be mentioned on a resume.
Oh, that's cool.
Improvisation is something I could do. I'm able to adapt quickly to situations. I've been trained in it. And, you know. So, yeah, it's got some interesting outcomes now.
Very cool. PlayersWorkshopOnline.com. Jeff Rogers. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Take care, Jeff. All right. You too. All right. News is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.